Truth. Hey, gang, welcome to part two of the Patrick and Jeremy show. Jeremy and I have been talking, and we weren't recording it because we were just talking, but it was good stuff. And so we're going to have a little bit of an abbreviated intro. You definitely need to go to republicbroadcasting.org. And what's the address? What should they do, Jeremy?
Well, you can call that in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3, with your credit or debit card. Or you can mail in your purchase of free speech to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You are purchasing free speech. The t-shirt is free. You purchase $100 free speech.
Okay. And for $2.95 or $3.95, I'm not sure which, but you'll find out. I got it for free. I don't know why. You can get the Co-Certified app, which you download. And maybe you'll get it for free too, but you shouldn't sweat the $3.95 if that's what it costs, because it's totally awesome. But we were talking about things, and people might have their dreams about a future, but you can't let your dreams get in the way of reality. And sometimes you have to go through reality first to get to dreams. And also, myself being a boomer, how much more time do I have to get to my dreams? I don't know. At some point, I have to allow younger people to lead the way. But at any rate, we were talking about things. We were talking about various types of nationalism. Shall I just kick it straight over to you, Jeremy?
Well, a lot of people in our circle want to go to the white ethnostate, the white nationalists, and that's just not possible to take that step from where we're at now. To that dream world, I guess you would say. So, I mean, civic nationalism is the next logical step, a nation where we operate strictly on meritocracy, where we get rid of the hiring people based on their color, and where we just go to the highest qualified person gets the job or the slot in the higher institution of learning. That's the next logical step. And people want to get, wound up around on the axle of purity spiraling and saying, no, we want a white ethnostate now, but there's no way to get there. And this Nietzschean principle of will to power just doesn't work, because the power lies in the federal government, which is Jewish dominated, and they can do whatever they want. You can argue, well, I'm not going to be a U.S. citizen. I'm going to be a national citizen of a state, a naturalized citizen. You can argue that all they want. But what we saw in the election hoax is that this establishment will do what it wants to and will run right over you. It will run shot over you if you get in its way, as it did the 500 people who were arrested at the election protest. And they were labeled with terrorists. And they're illegitimately being held because of their political beliefs. A lot of these defendants are being told you must renounce your political beliefs in order to get a lenient sentence. So that's where we're at. My brother is a pastor here in West Kentucky, and he points out that the Nietzschean principle just doesn't work. There is no will to power here.
So the Nietzschean principle, you're saying will to power.
Right. In other words, if enough people get together and will it to happen and force it, maybe even through militia, then you can change this, but you cannot. We're at a point now where that's irrelevant. I mean, the system will just run you over. And the FBI will show up at individuals' houses and kick down your door and shoot your dog and drag you off to a political prison.
So
winning the hearts and minds, that's the key.
So when you say it can't happen, you can't get the militia, I guess you mean from a practical standpoint, it can't happen fast. Like, even theoretically, it couldn't happen fast enough that people would be armed and organized fast enough for them not to be squashed first.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. And this country was founded, even though the founders, the framers, some of them were deists. They were not all like true Christians, but they operated from a Christian mindset that people who acknowledge their God-given rights could govern themselves, and that these people could elect representatives and send to the government to represent them and to make laws that benefited them. That's what the country was founded on. And this only works when the majority of the population have a Christian mindset of right and wrong. Even if they're not individually all true Christians, they acknowledge that it's certain things are right and certain things are wrong. And so when their morals decline, as we saw happen in the mid-20th century, then they start sending representatives, they allow representatives into the government that are corrupt and that can be bribed. And so this whole thing of self-governance falls apart when the morals of the population fall. And that's what the Jewish-dominated establishment did in the 20th century through Hollywood, is they basically rotted the morals of the populace. And we get to the point where we're at now. You're not going to take that back by force. Mm-hmm. If you're going to take it back at all, it's going to be by winning the hearts and minds of the populace and convincing them to start looking at things from a more Christian moral point of view, as did the populace 200 years ago when this nation was founded. And so the whole Nietzschean view of taking it by force, the government's just going to run you right over. It's not going to happen. That's the point I was making. Go ahead, Patrick.
That populace includes people who aren't white. It includes a lot of white people who might have, at this point, a mulatto grandchild or whatnot, because there are a lot of facts on the ground, or they might have, they might be white people, very decent white people, who don't want a white ethnostate. You have like a whole range of people that you're trying to convince. And right now, is there an entity on Earth that is more hostile to the future existence of white people and current existence of white people than the United States federal government?
Well, I mean, it would be the Jewish-dominated elite that actually control this government.
Yeah.
Very hostile to white people.
And they do control...
They do. Just look at Biden's administration. But to combat this, you need to convince the populace that we need to step back to a point of meritocracy. You know, get rid of affirmative action, and only the best qualified can get the job or the position in higher learning. And when that's done, which is a very easy thing to do, it's much easier than trying to convince everyone we need a white ethnostate. But when that's done, you're going to see the white European peoples rise to power and push out the Jewish elite, and the people of color will settle into their slots in society, and they will not be influenced by the media that whitey is pushing them down. And see, that's what's happened over the last probably 60 years. You know, is that they've pulled people of color up, and they've told people of color, you're being suppressed by the whites, and the white people are evil. When in actuality, if you just went by a system of meritocracy, everyone would settle into their slots in society. I don't know if I've communicated that correctly. Maybe
communicating well. And you know, one thing that has happened over the past 30 years has also been that the various slots in society have been very polarized or stratified. So you can be a nurse's aide or a garbage collector, and in one society you might be able to raise a family. In another society, you might be permanently impoverished because the certain, you know, managerial class and the professional class are getting 10, 20, 100 times more than you're getting. It doesn't have to be that way. I remember going to a zoning meeting once where they're talking about expanding a hospital, and there was a black, I don't know if he was a representative, he was a member of the black community who wanted the people to pledge that they were going to have plenty of entry level jobs. He didn't say he wanted quotas for black doctors. He said he wanted entry level jobs because honestly, those were the jobs that his people were going to get. Those are the jobs his people needed. There are reasonable people out there. So here's the thing. So you got the federal government controlled by this very hostile Jewish-dominated elite. That's really the biggest threat to us. And what could you carve out of the United States now? What kind of ethno-state could you carve out of the current United States that would be anything more than a big graveyard for us? You have to somehow overthrow or take over the United States somehow you have to displace the current power, and you're not going to displace the current power with ethno-state white nationalists, because the numbers aren't going to be there, the power's not there, the resources aren't there. But you can displace them, and I think this is what you're getting at. You can displace the current hostile ruling elite with a civic nationalism, and then once you have the United States under a more benign civic nationalism, those who want their ethno-state could have one. They could build one somewhere where it wouldn't be threatened by the current hostile regime. That's what I think you're getting at, and I think what I'm getting at. Is that correct?
That's a great way of polishing up my comments, yeah. Is that, you know, it's not just this, let's form militias and take over and overthrow. What we're looking at now, and we discussed this a lot last Wednesday, is all of us true American patriots are withdrawing from the system. Now, in some areas, we're fighting the system, as in Kentucky. We won a great battle where we basically got the state education board and the legislature to declare that the governor has no right to mandate masks for the school students. That's a great victory. And so maybe people will come to Kentucky and will come to rural areas like Kentucky and states where they can form somewhat of a society that pushes back against this COVID regime. The COVID regime that has been implemented is going to be their downfall, because they're forcing people like us to all come together, people of all colors. And it's only going to be the best people of the blacks, of the Hispanics, of the Chinese, the Japanese, or whatever, that come together and say, no, you know, we have rights given to us by God, and this government cannot infringe upon them. That's going to be the first step. The next step is, you know, why are we judging based on color or race? We need to judge based on meritocracy. That's the next step. And I think that's how we're going to form a parallel society that operates very, very fluidly while we watch the federal government collapse. And once the federal government collapses, then we can come in and implement something that's a lot closer to what the founders envisioned.
And the federal government, like, they are in a very precarious position. The situation right now is very fluid. All sorts of things could happen. I mean, just think, the past 5 years, you had somebody who is as mercurial and bombastic and egocentric as Donald Trump, who was elected twice. He was elected twice. You had that. And he was, with all of his faults, he was giving at least some sort of voice to the people. And I don't know if he has any future role. Like, he doesn't seem to be learning from mistakes. but it is possible for somebody to come in and reflect the will of the people and receive the support of the people and presumably displace the current elite. I think it's feasible. And when you, and especially seeing as the current elite, they've been doing this double or nothing. And if you do double or nothing, you might wind up with nothing. And this is what they're doing. And they're going for broke, and they might wind up broke, or they might wind up with everything.
And thus the collapse. I mean, you make a very good point. I mean, regardless, Trump did not perform his duties well. And we can go into all the different aspects as to why that happened. But his platform was legit. Non-intervention, immigration control, right? And bringing the jobs back, fair trade. And the populace responded to that. That's a very civic nationalist platform.
It was civic nationalist. That's right.
And the people responded and loved it. And so just because Trump didn't perform it well doesn't mean it's not a legitimate platform.
In a country that has a very white European history and a Christian history and still has a white Christian majority, and where white Christians still have the majority of the resources, frankly, and the majority of the skills necessary to keep society going, civic nationalism cannot help but have certain racial undertones.
And there was a lot of compromise. I mean, a lot of people, you know, look at the alt-right. Let me, talking about compromise, a lot of people in the alt-right who won an ethno-state were willing to compromise a little bit on Trump's, you know, acceptance of all colors and his civic nationalist platform in order to get the greater good, which was a better America and a step back from where we are now. You know, similarly, a lot of moderate Democrats who normally would believe that abortion was okay, they moved over to Trump. Mm-hmm. Because they saw him working for their jobs in his part of the platform of, fair trade. And so they were willing to compromise. Well, this guy's really pro-life, but I'll compromise because he's more like a Democrat from 30 years ago that wants our to protect our jobs. Mm-hmm. And you had a lot of Christians compromising, Christians that were like, well, this guy's not exactly ideal, but he's pro-life, he's pro-American. So there is a certain amount of compromise that's going to have to be necessary. And it worked. It really did work. You know, 80 million plus voters came together of all political backgrounds and voted for Trump and compromised on certain issues. Did I communicate that correctly? Do you want to polish that up a bit?
No, that's all fine. And, one thing we did get from Trump was a demonstration that somebody with that message, that civic nationalist message, with albeit some racial undertones because you can't help it, somebody like that can receive an awful lot of support. And I don't think there was anybody else who could have done what he did because he had an independent fortune. And he had pre-existing celebrity status. And he did something, and it was a demonstration. And if you were to compare him to something in a military arsenal, he wouldn't be a big cannon. He would be a flare that illuminates the battlefield. He himself wasn't capable of winning battles, but he did illuminate the battlefield. And maybe there will be possible for someone else or someone's else, some other movement, to come and finish the job, or at least move forward. But we're at the break. We'll be right back.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you another.
taken away. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Okay, we are back, and we are talking, well, we were talking about a bunch of things, civic nationalism, ethno-nationalism, we're talking about the Trump presidency, what he did right, I'm sure, and there's an awful lot he did wrong. What do you say, Jeremy?
Just throwing out this caveat, I mean, we're not saying that Trump was the answer. I mean, Trump was a big disappointment in many ways. He appointed all the wrong people. He allowed people to come in and subvert him. He pushed the vaccine. And, you know, as of right now, at this point in time, Trump is irrelevant. And he needs to just, like, go back and do, like, real estate or whatever it is he does. Even though he is a political force that we cannot ignore, and we're going to cover that in some articles that I sent, even though that, you know, there is no Trump 2024. It's done. It's over. Trump did his job. He's over.
Well,
go ahead.
When you say there's no Trump 2024, do you mean there's no Trump 2024 worth supporting, or there's no
worth supporting
2024 that could happen?
Well, worth supporting. Of course it could happen.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't think the support is there, and his time is gone. His job was to awaken the populace, and he did that, and now he's done, and now it's time for someone else to come and take up that mantle to actually implement these changes that the populace wants. That's where I'm going with that. So I don't want anybody in the audience to misconstrue what we're saying. I don't think that Trump is relevant anymore, and he needs to go do something else. But we're just analyzing what happened. Go ahead.
He might be relevant, but to the extent he's relevant, it might not be in a good way.
Probably not. I mean, he may be actually used as a controlled opposition from this point forward, and I'm willing to acknowledge that. But as we mentioned,
or even not being used, but just not knowing what to do and floundering around and latching onto bad narratives, and who knows?
That does seem to be the case. But like I pointed out, he pulled together this populace that were willing to compromise on their core beliefs in order to support a platform that was good for America. You know, Christians got to the point where they didn't care that he was a womanizer, that he said, grab him by the pussy. They didn't care about that. And the liberal Democrats, the moderate Democrats, didn't care that he was called racist. They're like, well, this guy's advocating for our jobs and fair trade, like the Democrats used to do. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people compromised and came together, and that can't be something that's ignored. That was phenomenal. And so we're just pointing that out. That's all I'm saying there.
Now, as for somebody emerging, you know, everybody knows I'm a big fan of Vladimir Putin, but I certainly don't think that, and I only became aware of Putin when Yeltsin appointed him as prime minister in, the summer or autumn of 1999. He wasn't somebody who had been on my radar, and I don't know what I would have thought of him. I mean, initially, he seemed to just be somebody who was a tool of the oligarchs, and he was going to protect Jewish oligarchic power. And, you know, you look at people, and you can look at Ron DeSantis or a whole bunch of other people, and nobody out there really, judging from the past performance, everybody out there is it doesn't seem to really fit the bill. But the thing is, Putin didn't look like he would fit the bill. And it may be that somebody that we might least suspect might actually harbor inside of themselves, okay, if I get to this point, then I'm going to do such and such. Because I would assume Putin must have been holding his cards close to the vest. There might be somebody out there who's holding their cards close to the vest. But the problem is, if they're holding their cards close to the vest, you don't know who that person is.
It's almost a mirror image. I mean, Putin did not look like he would be someone that would be good for Russia, but he actually ended up being something that was very good for Russia. And, you know, Trump looked like someone who would bring us back to at least 1980s America. And, you know, push off this global homo, but he didn't end up coming through. Very interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting. Okay. Well, we've got about another minute before the break, and we do have, there were some stories we're going to talk about. We got about 30 seconds. Anything you want to introduce before the break?
Maybe the, just continuing on the Trump discussion, there was a MyPillow rally in Kentucky that was a total dud. Mm. Didn't work out well. And that sort of plays into my comments of Trump's not relevant anymore.
Right, because the MyPillow, it was the, you know, the Trump celebrity lineup, the MyPillow guy, Mike Flynn, Lynn Wood. And these people, they were duds last winter and don't have good narratives. Anyway, we'll be back on the other side.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And we are back. All right. So before the break, we were talking about a rally. Was it in Kentucky with the MyPillow guy, Linwood?
Yeah.
Mike Flynn.
Muhlenberg, Kentucky, which is a very conservative, like right-wing area. I'm very familiar with that area. And this is a Newsweek article. The headline reads, "Pro-Trump rally expecting 10,000 attendees sees only a few hundred show up," report by Jason Lemon. It says the organizers of a Kentucky rally in support of former President Donald Trump, featuring several prominent allies and conspiracy theorists, they expected some 10,000 people to show up this weekend. Instead, less than 300 were in attendance. And so it goes on to say this was in Powderly, Kentucky, in Muhlenberg County. Again, an area that's very salt of the earth. And you had CEO... from MyPillow, Michael Lindell, retired General Michael Flynn, attorney Lynn Wood, and others were among the featured speakers. So why didn't this rally gain the traction? Well, this goes to the point that I was making before, earlier in the show, is that maybe Trump is relevant in the political circles and that he's still covered in the media, but the following is done. Why? Why? Well, we never did see the Kraken. Where's the Kraken at?
Mm.
Right. And, Michael Lindell and all of them, Michael Flynn, I mean, they were all on board with this whole, you know, fight and get Trump reinstated. And also Trump has really been shilling for the vaccines. This is hurting his movement. And the base, I think, has abandoned him. He should have had 20,000 people in this area. I'm telling you, I know this area. And yet, a few hundred people. The Trump movement is irrelevant. And we need to be looking for something else to take that place, to take this momentum and push it. That's the point that I'm making. What do you got on this?
So, that person, whoever it might be, or those people, it would seem to me that their best avenue would be to insert themselves as the leader of anti-mask, anti-vaccine, anti-mandates, anti-lockdown. If somebody were to step up, and somebody like Rand Paul is actually pretty well positioned to do it, step up to be the, or Tucker Carlson, be the voice of the anti-corona apocalypse. That person could gain massive support. And I don't know.
No, you could. That's totally. You could go to these red states, someone like Rand Paul, and you could push back on the mask and the vaccines and talk about, bringing jobs back, and you could and then throw in some Christian morality, like anti-abortion type things and anti-critical race theory. You could win in a landslide. In a landslide, I'm telling you, the populace of the heartland of America wants to hear this. They want to hear about anti-vaccine, anti-mask, anti-CRT, pro-life. And bringing jobs back. And so if you ran on that platform, you could win easily. And these people are going about this the wrong way. Mm-hmm. They're trying to bring this Trump movement back, and it's dead. They're trying to resuscitate a corpse. It's done. And they're totally not in touch with the populace.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. One other thing regarding that particular rally that turns out to be a dud, you know, there's on the 18th, this Saturday, there's scheduled to be a rally in Washington, D.C. Mark Dankoff and others have been advising not to go to it because it's a setup. And so there's almost a catch-22. So if somebody announces a rally, even if it's not intended as a setup, these things are very easy to turn into setups, as we've seen in Charlottesville, we saw in January 6th. So, but then if something's announced and nobody shows up, then it's kind of a humiliation. It's a dud. Nobody showed up. Then nobody cares. Mm-hmm. And so there's kind of a catch-22 there. And, you know, we had, aside from those two rallies, you can think of going back 4, 5, 6 years, you had Richard Spencer going around, Mike Enoch going around to a lesser extent, but then people like Ann Coulter, Milo Yiannopoulos, is that what his name? Milo whatever.
Yeah.
These people going around the college campuses there would always be a ruckus and it didn't go well. And I'm not criticizing these people because these are things that up until 5, 6 years ago, yeah, you went around to college campuses. There wouldn't have been a problem with it. And they were going around with messages that were perfectly legitimate, but it wasn't working anymore because of Antifa, because of the raising of the stakes. Well, one thing that I'm keeping my eye on is Nick Fuentes. He's very young, right? He's 23. And his followers are very young, but they're very technologically savvy. And I have followed him on Telegram. Is that what you do? Follow or describe or subscribe? And I don't even know what that means, frankly, and I'm not getting news from him, but maybe someday I'll have a young whippersnapper show me how to use this. But what Nick can do and what he has done is he can show up in a place and announce 1 hour before he shows up that he's going to show up. And he gets a nice little crowd, right? And in his hometown of Chicago, and this is something that may very well be happening, he could probably get a medium-sized crowd on very short notice. And if you're doing it on very short notice, then it doesn't give the Antifa a chance to come out. It doesn't give the mayor a chance to get the police out or the provocateurs out. And that may be something that could be emulated. That may be something that others can do too. But, you know, the old-fashioned plan a rally 3 months or a month or 2 months or 3 weeks out in advance, that just hasn't been working for us. But that doesn't mean there won't be new techniques that will work for us.
So what I'm gathering is, from what you're saying, maybe the rally in Kentucky, you know, in conjunction with the Trump movement being pretty much done, because of the pro-vaccine and the, you know, these people not producing the evidence, and, you know, against election fraud and getting reinstated. In conjunction with that, you got people that are afraid of showing up at a rally and getting arrested, like the ones on January 6th. All
right. Right. I mean, these pre-planned rallies, this is boomer technology. Even though younger people like, you know, Milo or Richard Spencer were doing things like that, this is the stuff that we were doing in the 60s. What Nick does is you know, he's able to, because he's very popular amongst his people, he's developed a following that's very capable of just showing up on short notice. And it's not a huge rally. It's not going to take over the city, but you know, it's almost a guerrilla tactic, right? And that might be something, and it might be something that can be emulated. But the good thing about Nick is Nick Fuentes, Nicholas J. Fuentes, is compared to Lynn Wood and the MyPillow guy, his narratives are really much more. You know, they're just better. They're not cringe. I guess that's a word. He counts his Jewish power. He doesn't set up these weird, you know, China or these weird distractions. He's blunt. He's smart. He speaks well. And that might not be as easy to emulate because that takes certain talents. But can be. I guess it can be.
Well, I mean, what Nick is doing is a very palatable civic nationalist platform with heavy pro-European American overtones.
Yeah, and Christian.
And Christian as
explicitly
well.
Explicitly Christian, and it's explicitly Christian, it's explicitly white, but it's not like ethno-state.
And what I'm saying...
He has non-whites who like him.
Oh, yeah, and that's necessary. And what I'm saying, you combine that platform with a full-on 1,000%, you know, anti-COVID lockdowns and measures. You combine those two, you could win anything. You could win anything. I'm putting that out on record.
Okay. There's something I wanted to get to. I've really been wanting to get to it all day. And I started out today. We did a Stormfront show, which actually I'll be broadcasting here later this week, maybe Thursday or Friday, with Andy Hitchcock. Andy Hitchcock and I have been, for the past several months, we've been doing a joint show that goes on his network and goes on my network. But today, because Stormfront was at the exact same hour, and Don Black invited on Andy Hitchcock, so we're doing a show that's going to be like three ways. So some people might hear it again. But at any rate, I wanted to talk about it then. I certainly wanted to talk about it with Dr. Duke today, but there was just so much that it was hard to get it. It was hard to fit it into the show. But this is something I think is very interesting. You know, they've been deplatforming. And first they came for the Nazis, right? And then they go for the Civnats, and then they go for the MAGAPEDs, and then they go – well, they're at the point where they're completely cannibalizing their own. And there are two people that over the years we've talked a lot about on the Dr. Duke show who have been frequent foils for us. One is Ben Stein from Win Ben Stein's Money. He wrote an article some years ago that had a title something like – Do the Jews control Hollywood? You betcha, and what of it? Right? Yeah. And he was celebrating the Jewish domination of the media. And the another is Nicki Minaj, who is just like a disgraceful slut who is pushed by the Jewish Hollywood, Jewish music industry, and she sings songs about having sex in exchange for cocaine that then win Kids' Choice Awards, right? Of course. Well, they are the most recent victims of cancel culture, I guess. Ben Stein had his YouTube channel shut down for a week, and Nicki Minaj is being roundly criticized Tucker had he calls her the race lady. She's that black lady from Ghana. I think she's from Ghana or Nigeria. She's on MSNBC, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, and they're all going after Nicki Minaj because Nicki Minaj, in both cases, because they are expressing, they're going slightly off the party line on the vaccines, expressing some sort of doubts. And so even these two people who have been massive tools in the case of Nicki Minaj, a tool, in the case of Ben Stein, part of the Jewish elite. But even them, they're having their wrists slapped. You know, they're not getting stuck in jail for 400 years like James Fields, but they're getting their wrist slaps over this. What do you make of it?
Well, I reckon this to the squad, right? Ilhan Omar and her squad, they spoke out about Jewish power, but they were brought to heel very quickly. And so, anybody in Hollywood that wants to think for themselves, speak out against the virus regime or Jewish power, they're going to be brought to heel very rapidly, and it's going to be monetarily. And these people, they love their money and they want to maintain their lifestyle. And so, that's what the establishment threatens. Hey, you speak out of line, you're not going to get that contract. You're not going to get that next record label contract. So that's what I make of it.
So here's the thing. There have been studies that the people who are most hesitant about the vaccines, by education level, are the people with PhDs. And then there's people who are second most hesitant about the vaccines are people who are like high school dropouts.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and so with Ben Stein, I mean, they represent both of these, because Ben Stein he's a lawyer and he was a speechwriter for Nixon as a kid. I mean, he was probably in his early 20s and he was a speechwriter for Nixon because his dad worked at the White House. His dad was like a chairman of the Economic Advisory Council or something. And then Nicki Minaj is a disgusting slut, but she's not very smart, but. For right now, for this moment on this issue, she's our disgusting slut.
I've mentioned before on this program that, I have a Facebook full of hundreds of friends. And being in the military and having been all over the world, I have friends from all over the world, meaning I have friends from every type of political background that you can think of, liberals. Libertarians, conservatives, right-wingers, and I can gauge the political landscape by just surfing through Facebook comments. By the way, I can actually predict how my friends will react to certain topics. By the way, if I can do that just by a couple of hours a day, what can these people do that are analyzing this with algorithms and such?
Here's one point that was made. Nicki Minaj has 22 million followers on whatever, Instagram or something. And wow. I don't do this, so I am a follower of Nick Fuentes and maybe somebody else on some social media. I don't know how many people are like me, who are like boomers who don't know how the thing works and are just kind of like followers who don't actually follow anything. But I would assume that probably a lot of those 22 million people are actually following this, Nicki Minaj has to say, and may even be influenced by it. But we're at the break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
And we are back. We've got a few minutes left. What do you have on this?
Just backing up your point in my observance of my social media as well as personal contacts that I've observed over the last 18 months, you're right. It is the very, very highly educated, like doctorate degree tier people that are pushing back against this, along with the high school dropout tier people, grug, salt of the earth, you know, country boy can survive type people. They're all pushing back against it. But when you get in the middle of the spectrum, you know, your bachelor and master degrees, these people are falling into this whole virus regime. Let's get the vaccine. COVID is real. We're all in this together. Nonsense. That's fascinating to me. So only the very, very highly educated and intellectual people are seeing through this, as well as the working class, lower level, like mechanic, ditch digger type person. These two people are in the same category, seeing through this hoax. That's fascinating. I don't know what to make of that. Common sense? I don't know.
I'll tell you what I make of it. Yeah, I mean, there is such a thing as common sense, but there's an awful lot of indoctrination in the equation, right? And so people correctly have the impression that at universities, these are kind of indoctrination centers. There's a lot to that. The thing about a PhD, and not very many people get them, partly because not many people are masochistic enough to get out. I mean, really. And one of the things you have to do for a PhD that you don't have to do for a master's is write the original, have this original project where you're proving a point. And I guess maybe they don't do it in education schools or whatever, but in social sciences, in most fields, you have to do like some sort of original contribution to the field. And in order to do that, you have to have a high level of research. Like, you have to take comprehensive examinations in research techniques. So it's not just looking on the internet and thinking, well, that makes sense to me. There's an awful lot of research techniques. Now, in my case, I had to take a comprehensive examination in statistical analysis, which involves learning a great deal of mathematical, these mathematical tools of probability and modeling and all sorts of stuff. But more than that, I don't know. You do have to learn how to think. And obviously, lots of professors get PhDs and then they go on to indoctrinate their students. But you do have the tools. You in order to get a PhD, supposedly you're supposed to develop these independent research tools that you're not going to get in a bachelor's program.
Well, the common denominator between the PhD holder and the welder is critical thinking.
Mm.
That's what I'm getting.
Well, you know,
both are very skilled at critical thinking.
There is something to be said for that. For a lot of people in construction trades, for instance, have to be able to do a critical thinking, analytical thinking, be able to move things around in their mind. How is this going to be cut? Is this going to be mirror image if I do it the wrong way and things like that? There is something to that, but we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining me, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick. Stay classy, my friend.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.